I'm Dr. Stephanie Munt.
And I'm Dr. Ellie Summers.
And this is Two Women Running Their Mouths, a podcast for women who run by women who run. Our 80-20 rule, 80% dishing, 20% running. Welcome back to Two Women Running Their Mouths. Today we're talking about knees.
Oh, knees.
I think runners tend to deal with knee pain all the time.
I mean, all the time. It is probably, I don't know if it is, but it's one of the most common complaints of pain, I think, for runners. IT band pain, just like general knee pain, patellofemoral pain, patellar tendon pain.
Yeah, but from a clinician standpoint, I was thinking about this the other day, from a clinician standpoint, it can be very difficult to work with. However, it's one of the least concerning, in my opinion. You know, when someone comes in with anterior knee pain or lateral knee pain, I'm much less concerned than like tibial or distal fibular or hip pain. When it's at the knee, I'm like, all right, we can move
forward. We got this.
We got this. So it's definitely a lot less concerning initially, but it can definitely be limiting long-term.
100%. And I think what Steph is alluding to here is why it's less concerning is because of stress fracture risk and regions. It's just very low likelihood that there's a stress fracture when somebody comes in with knee pain.
But that said, with my first femoral shaft stress fracture, I had like kind of stabbing knee pain towards the end, but that was after I kept running on it for a while. But it was from my memory, this was 2008, from my memory, it was sharp knee pain, but it was more like proximal to the patella, just above the patella. So
okay, that's interesting. Is that where your fracture was too?
I actually don't remember. I don't think I really paid attention to the imaging at that point. I just knew.
Were you not a PT yet?
No, this was senior year of high school.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And that makes sense. It's like as a high schooler, you're like, whatever, just tell me what's wrong with me and I'll get on my way.
Tell me when I can run again. Exactly. Yeah. but looking back now and having had femoral neck stress fractures that felt different, it probably was a distal femoral shaft.
So you can't have knee pain and stress fracture. Yes, that's true. Generally speaking, it's lower likelihood.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that with anyone else.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's dig into your story because Ellie, well, also this is probably important to know. Ellie has not dealt with stress fractures. She played ball sports and that's protective against stress fractures, which is awesome. Yes. However, she did have an ACL repair.
Yep.
And more than one?
Just one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But really you don't feel limited at all now with your running.
Yeah, not really. So I tore my ACL playing soccer in high school. You know, and similar to you, it's like, okay, tell me what's wrong with me and get me on my way. I don't know what it is. What is an ACL? And then they were like, you need surgery. And it was the end of the world. And you know, little to my knowledge then, recovery from ACL tear and the chances that you'd get back to your prior level of activity are very low. I think right now they're maybe saying 50-50 almost.
Right.
Like the chances that you're going to return to your prior level of activity after ACL reconstruction surgery is 50%. And that's not great odds, but I didn't know that at the time. And I don't want to scare people. Mm-hmm. And so when I went into rehab, you know, my mind was made up. I'm going to recover. I'm going to get back to sport as fast as possible. And that's what I did. I returned to sport. I was one of the people who got back. I pushed hard in rehab, 3 times a week, lifting heavy weights, you know, long knee extension exercises, hamstring curl exercises, heavy squats, all of it. Got back to sport and, you know, the rest is history. I played in college and it seemed to be mostly fine. I think anyone who's had an ACL reconstruction knows your knee just feels different, like basically forever. It's just different. Anyone who's had a surgery probably knows that. And then as an adult, I started running because running was, you know, very accessible. And I always enjoyed running when I was younger anyway. And now I'm 20 years post ACL reconstruction and still running like a champ, I would say. I mean, you know.
Yeah, well, you're doing a 50K.
I am doing a 50K. Yeah, yeah. So,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, in terms of like knee stuff, I feel like my knees have always been probably my, I'm going to use air quotes, my more problem area, in part because of my ACL reconstruction, maybe in part because of the sports I played, I don't know. But I also have a meniscus tear on my left knee. And I think, you know, I'm maybe a living example of somebody who is a little bit stubborn about.
A little bit.
Thanks. Yeah. 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 So anyway, that's.
Well, I think that, well, I have a couple of questions. So back to the, like, being stubborn and how you feel like that may have been helpful. You know, we talked about, like, why do you think you've done so well? Because, like you said, your knee feels different.
Yeah.
There can be some fear there. Like, okay, it's different. I don't, like, is there anxiety about if it's going to hold up? Maybe not with you, but with people you've worked with. And do you feel like that impacts? I mean, there's research, I think, to show that it does impact outcomes, but how do you feel like that impacted you?
It's funny. I don't think it impacted me like at all. I think that I didn't ever have anxiety in my rehab process, maybe a little bit. Like when I first started getting back to play and I was wearing this huge brace and it just gets in the way. And you know, the sports med physician is like, you have to wear the brace for a year. I took it off after 3 months. Like, it was like, this gets in the way. So, you know, I think that for me, I had made my mind up about what I wanted. And what I wanted was to play sports, to be active, and it didn't matter what surgery I had or what the, I'm going to use for me air quotes here, what the risks were. To me, and this has always been the case for me, being involved and playing sports is always going to trump any risk of injury for me at this moment in my life. And it's been that way since I can remember. And then I became a physical therapist, you know, and ironically, I think probably in becoming a physical therapist, I became more fearful, which is interesting. Like I tore my meniscus, I'm going to say, I don't know, 6 years ago or so. And I've been a physical therapist for 12 years. So I was a physical therapist at that time. And I just remember being terrified. Like I tore my ACL, you know, and I would go for a run and it'd be painful. And I'd be like, my life is over. I'm going to need surgery. Yeah. So, but then it took seeing a provider being like, oh yeah, meniscus tears happen all the time. Just rehab, get back to what you're doing. And I was like, oh, okay, fine. Oh, okay. And then it was like, all of a sudden I had a clear path to move forward and was totally fine. So, some advantages to being a physical therapist, I think, but then in moments, a few disadvantages too, because when you know what the body is supposed to behave like, again, air quotes there, everything you feel can mean something. and it becomes very threatening at moments. But I think that that has calmed down for me over the years, being a physical therapist, seeing people recover, seeing the types of injuries that walk through the doors, knowing that not a single person that I know of has ever not recovered from an injury, no matter what the injury, like everything, you'll get there if that's what you want.
Well, it's often slow, but you will get there.
Yes. Yes. It can be slow. I mean, even ACL rehab, now they're saying a year almost. I'm like, fuck that. <That's>, I can't possibly fathom that in my own head. I returned to play at 5 months. Wow. And that's like nowadays, that's like totally frowned upon. That's malpractice type of care. And I did not tear my ACL again, knock on wood, right. You know, in the like quote unquote vulnerable timeframe. So, you know, I think my mindset was a very like athletically driven mindset. Like I had drive, I knew where I wanted to go. I was gonna make it happen. I was willing to put in the work. I put in the work. Mm-hmm. Lifting 3 days a week for a high schooler is no joke.
Right.
And yeah, anyway.
So who did you have guiding you? Because I feel like, you know, maybe like to take ownership of this as a profession, why is it 50-50? Are we not doing our jobs in rehab? And are like, I don't really see people post-op ACL reconstruction. So do you think, I mean, chronically, I think because of, you know, this is a talk for another time, but, you know, in a lot of clinics, there's not much time to work one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like we're chronically underloading people. And that seems like it would be a risk factor for re-tearing or just not being able to test as much as is optimal before right. return to sport. So who was guiding you and what do you feel like is causing this like 50-50 chance of returning to sport or not?
Yeah, I'm gonna theorize some things and then sort of speak to the literature we have, but so I worked with an athletic trainer. I had worked with a physical therapist and he was awful. He was like, you know, really like arms crossed, you're not returning to sport until after 6 months. I make the rules type of person. And I was not cool with that. And luckily my mom was also like not cool with that because I was not cool with that. So we fired him and worked with an athletic trainer who is willing to help push me to that level. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so that's kind of like how that process went. Is I worked with that athletic trainer, I worked my ass off and did what I wanted to do. And I think that the 50-50 thing, there's a piece of it that's like the athlete's advocacy. There's a piece of it that's the therapist advocacy. Because in traditional physical therapy, you know, we don't have the ability to see people, typically speaking, 3 times a week for weeks and weeks and weeks, building strength programs.
Right.
So, you know, we really need to be doing it in conjunction, I think, ideally with a strength coach or an athletic trainer, you know, and facilitating the process that I had 20 years ago.
Definitely.
And that's just not the case. You go to a classical outpatient orthopedic physical therapy clinic and 90% of them do not have a rack mm-hmm. or barbells or heavy dumbbells past like 40 pounds. Mm-hmm. So that is a problem. That is a problem. And I think that there's also the problem of just not knowing how to help people who are really afraid. Mm-hmm. You know, that psychological readiness piece is a huge piece of recovery. We know that. We know that the more afraid you are, potentially the longer it's going to take. But honestly, working with a provider who's not afraid can help make you unafraid. And so, you know, it's there's a lot of nuance there, I think, to unpack. It's like the responsibility of providers to go with confidence, to be unafraid, to be willing to push someone hard. And then, you know, the role of the patient who either needs to advocate for themselves or to say, like, I am afraid, let's work through this.
Right, definitely. Yeah. So, you know, educating parents too, because sometimes I'm sure right. As teenagers, it can be hard to advocate for yourself in that situation. So
Yeah. Being
both the parents and the athletes, that's not only acceptable, it's encouraged.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I agree. I think it would be ideal if we could provide that strength work, pushing people hard 3 times a week. And when it's not possible, collaborating with athletic trainers, strength conditioning facilities is huge. If you,
yeah, the,
if you're in Phoenix and need a recommendation for that, reach out to me. I have some ideas.
Yeah, the facility I was in 20 years ago was like the medical facility, and then there was like a sports performance facility in the same spot. Mm-hmm. So being in rehab and transitioning over into sport style progressive overload training was super seamless. You know, it's like I would be working with the athletic trainer. He's walking me through my program so that I know what to do on the days that I'm not working with him. And I can just come in there and do my lifts. Most classical PT clinics, you cannot use the facilities if you're not paying for your like therapy appointment.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think that's a failing a little bit, but there's also pieces of it that, you know, is just, you know, the antiquated medical system a little bit, but also just the way that paying works for healthcare. It's that's a whole other mess, but,
yeah.
But now 20 years later, I run, I lift. I feel like my knee does not limit me. If we just go on like research and what research shows, you know, having had ACL repair, the thing that I think about most probably is, do I have early onset degenerative changes? Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty confident that I do, but I also, like, as a physical therapist, I know that movement is the best possible treatment for that. Exactly. So my stubborn mind is like, well, screw that. I'm going to just keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I never had an ACL repair, and I have early onset degenerative changes. So you might have them either way.
Yeah. You just don't always know. But I think the message is that, you know, if you want to stay active with that stuff without intervention that is, you know, injecting a needle or cutting you open, I mean, you can.
Yeah, you absolutely mm-hmm. can. Yeah, and to also highlight your meniscus tear, that's not limiting you, because that's something that is frequently seen, like you said initially, scary. I mean, I might need surgery,
right?
And is surgically repaired again with higher risk of early onset degenerative changes after.
I think in Australia, they're saying that it's malpractice now to operate on meniscus tears as a first line of attack to treating them. Yeah. Or that could be in New Zealand. I don't know. One of the two. And I think that, like, in the United States of America, that is like the only treatment in our heads.
Mm-hmm. Repair it, fix it.
Repair it, fix it, you know, fix the tissue. And I think, you know, we have, some people may require surgical repair. There's no question about that. But I think we have enough to know that a good majority of people can recover from meniscus tear. I play soccer, I trail run, I lift heavy weights, I squat to full depth, I sprint, I cut, I pivot, like I do everything with a meniscus tear and with probably early onset arthritis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But movement, again, movement. Sometimes do you ever feel like you have to modify activity?
The only times recently I've noticed is when I'm doing speed work, my surgical ACL knee, it doesn't feel quite as powerful. I'll say that. And I get like a huge crack.
I remember you
like, yeah, it's like this huge, it's like a big like crack when I'm like pushing off to try and, you know, get power. So then it feels maybe a little less like powerful, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. But if I push through that, there's no consequence. Like I don't have like pain afterwards. I don't have swelling. I don't have anything. Mm-hmm. Although occasionally I do have swelling, unexplained. I don't know why. Cause it's like, sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. And yeah, so that's the only time that it feels limiting.
Okay. So yeah, for the most part, early on you probably had some activity modification, but for many of these conditions, it's continue moving through the range or with the activities that you can, build strength in the ways that you can, and you may have to modify activities and, you know, get support.
Right.
Lots of people who are optimistic about your outcomes and your ability to heal without invasive, sort of like, without invasive interventions.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think too, like mixing up the routine a little bit makes a big difference for runners, especially. You know, runners are really used to, you know, the repetitive impact, the very, I mean, straightforward types of movements. You know, and a lot of runners will develop things like IT band syndrome. I have never seen a soccer player with true IT band syndrome, right? So sometimes like, it's like, okay, we've got a runner here with IT band pain. Let's mix up their activity just a hair. You know, let's add in some, maybe some lateral shuffling, maybe some dynamic drills, things that move you in different directions. I don't think for much knee pain, runners need to completely stop activity. There's always a way to like problem solve and adjust. Definitely. For most situations.
Yeah. And we can talk more specifically, since we talked a lot about ACL and meniscus today, we can talk more specifically about patellofemoral pain and IT band syndrome and how we work with that on another episode.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else? I think it's just, it's nice to hear that, again, you don't feel limited. You work through even that crack. Like initially, was that scary or was it just like, oh, there's no pain, I'm good?
I mean, I really think I like to brag about my mindset a little bit, because I just think that I have decided that it doesn't matter what's going on in my tissues, that it just does not matter, that any tissue issue can be dealt with. And that's like the privilege of being a physical therapist. That's the privilege of being involved in sport and kind of like gritting it out a little bit, even though I don't think that's always the answer. That's also just who I am. And so I'm a little bit less fearful of tissue issues at this point in my life because of what I know about the body. And I really just think like, yeah, it's just like, I don't want my tissue issues to limit me, so I'm choosing not to let them limit me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 That's huge. I think if we had or could help instill that mindset into more of our patients, athletes, clients, whatever you want to call them, yeah, outcomes would be really great, really stellar.
Yeah. There was, I will say, this is maybe a topic for another day too, but I have Achilles tendinopathy. And several years ago when it started, I was in the suffering moments where running was like not fun because all I could think about was my Achilles. And when you're in those moments, those hard moments, you know, for me, it was like, all right, well, I'm just going to eliminate running for a while, focus on some other stuff and come back to it later. And that's what I did. But I think the ability to, because sport now is a part of me, but it isn't me, it's much easier for me to say like, oh, I'm going to just give that up for a little while and focus on this other thing. And I think that's hard for a lot of people to do when it's a big part of your identity and who you are. And that's where working with a physical therapist or even a coach can be so helpful to remind you that you're more than your sport.
Definitely.
And I think it's a really important thing to embody that and just, you know, kind of free yourself of some of the noise.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's it for today. Anything else?
I don't think so. Yeah. Okay. If you have questions, give us a shout.
Yes, absolutely.
We're always happy to problem solve.
We are. Yes. Oh, and then quick shout out, Steph Allen is another clinician who's very knowledgeable about ACL reconstruction. So follow her on Instagram as well. And if you're in the Phoenix area too, and you've had or know, I guess, yeah, we're at the age where I can have kids who are having ACL repairs.
Yeah.
The reconstructions. And or you're just looking for more strengthening options, that kind of thing, reach out. And then do you have people you would refer to in Seattle as well?
Yes, definitely. So if you're in Seattle, yeah, reach out, because I think that probably it depends on the person and the type of sport and all of that stuff.
Yeah, we can definitely help get you where you need to go.
Exactly.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Later.